This episode of WW Today is being sponsored by MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. And when you think to yourself, man, I'd love to plan another trip to Walt Disney World. I hear all these guys and gals talking about Walt Disney World all the time. I want to get back down there. Well, you know what? MEI and Mouse Fan Travel is here to help you plan your trip, make it a reality, and get you the best possible deal out there. In fact, you should go to their website right now. Go check out a lot of the specials that they got going on and see what's out there. And you know what? Maybe book something now, maybe book something later. You never know what's available for you. And of course, Mouse Fan Travel is always working to get you the best deal. Not just today, but every day between now and when you book your when you actually go on your trip. Check them out right now at mousefantravel.com.
Bringing the world to your world, this is Walt Disney World Today. Here are Mike Scopa, Len Testa, Mike Newell, and your host, Matt Hochberg.
It's Wednesday, November 5th, 2014, and this is episode 1418 of WDW Today. I'm Matt Hochberg of StudioCentral.com and RoyalCaribbeanBlog.com. Joining me on today's show is Mike Scopa, a blogger for TouringPlans.com, and he is also the co-host of the Mickey Miles podcast. Welcome to the show, Mike. And before you give us your quote, a quick question for you. Are you Team Cena or Team Authority?
Team Cena.
Yeah. All right. That's what I thought. Go ahead.
It's a piece of cake.
It's a piece of cake. Oh, a dinosaur.
Nope.
Oh, I thought it was
dinosaur.
Yeah. I thought it was a pre-show.
Yeah. Pre-show.
Oh, yeah.
Huh.
Tough to be a bug.
Right.
Woohoo!
Wow.
Look at that. I was going for Scopa's greatest hits on that one. Inevitably, when he picks one that I have no clue, it's tough to be a bug. Or that Pirates thing. Also joining us on today's show, Mike Newell of Mouse World Radio. Welcome to the show, Mike.
I still haven't even tried that Pirates thing yet.
I haven't either.
Totally should.
Just for the quotes. Just to get all the quotes. Like, oh, man, this is gold.
Exactly.
Also joining us on today's show, Len Testa, co-author of The Unofficial Guide to Walt Disney World, and he's also the host of the Disney Dish with Jim Hill podcast. Welcome to the show, Len.
How's it going, Matt?
Outstanding. Also joining us on today's show, the fabulous Annette Owens, a manager at MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. Welcome to the show, Annette.
Hey, nice to be here. And I always forget that pirate thing is even there once I get in the park.
Until I see
people playing it, and then it's like, oh.
Yeah, where's that light and noise coming from? Oh, yeah, it's the game. It does look cool. I just haven't gone around to it. Anyway, we are answering your listener emails. Of course, we want to hear from you. So if you have a question, comment, whatever you want to talk about, email us questions@wdwtoday.com, questions@wdwtoday.com. All right, let's get started with our first emails from Vince from Linden, Washington. I'm a new listener to the show and heading with my wife and two daughters to the world very, very soon, 2 weeks, in fact. We recently purchased Disney Vacation Club at Beach Club, but because we wanted to take our daughter for her 16th birthday, had to settle for a unit at Saratoga Springs. This is our first trip as DVC owners. Anyway, because of the issues with Disney World transportation out of Saratoga Springs, I was thinking we would be taking several taxis to minimize our travel times between the parks whenever possible. Having recently been made aware of on-demand car services such as Uber and Lyft, I was curious if any of you have any experience with these services in the world. I've heard that in some states and localities are dropping the hammer on services such as this, so I was wondering if you knew if this was an option to get around during our trip.
I have used Lyft down in the world.
Really?
I have. I went over to the Wave, wanted to see a game on TV when I was down a couple of weeks ago. And nope, had to go over to ESPN. Only way we could see it. So ran out, grabbed Lyft. It took us over to Boardwalk. I've got to say, I've used Lyft several different places. Definitely at World, they weren't stopping them. What can I say? I love it.
Do you think it was cheaper than a taxi?
It always is. It's
yeah,
always
it's really
Lyft
is. See, Uber's not.
Yeah. Uber is more professional, right? As opposed to Lyft, which is like guys like Mike Newell who, you know, are driving and want to make some bucks on the side in their own car. They're not like professional drivers, right?
Well, Uber's not professional drivers either.
No. Oh.
When you do Uber, you're already tipping the person. They're already got a gratuity in there. When you do Lyft, you add it on. Yeah. But most of the time with everything I've played around with pricing and stuff, Lyft seems to be a little cheaper. Yeah. But it also is available in my hometown. whereas Uber it doesn't seem to be as much.
Would it be
so
really? Uber's in Greensboro. How is it not where you live?
Well, I just don't get good. I mean, I've got both of them. Okay. I just use Lyft because Lyft, I tend to have more cars in my general area.
Okay. So for those
maybe that's it.
Lyft is a service. It's an app on iPhone and Google. It's called LYFT. That's how you spell it.
And it's the pink mustache cars.
Yeah. It's
oh, I thought that was there was alternative lifestyle Armenian.
I have to say I feel safer traveling by myself. I know some people are scared to try it. I feel safer because you click in, say you need a car, you see the person's face, the car, the license plate that's coming to pick you up. If you're nervous, Nelly, you can send that to somebody just in case you don't show up where you're going.
This is what happened to me the last time.
But there's no money that changes hands, and I love that because you just get in their car, you get there, you know they follow GPS. How many times have you been in a taxi and you feel like they're just taking you off? I know personally when I've taken a taxi around Disney World property, they always seem to go the long way. So they use GPS. They're going through. You see exactly where you're going. They drop you off. You get a, would you like to tip me? Here's your receipt. Would you like to tip? You do it, and off you go. I just love it.
Nice. Cool. Good. There you go. Who knew? See, Newell, why doesn't she say anything to us that she's done this? We could have done a whole show about this.
I know. She tells us too late.
I know.
All right. Next email is from Lisa Tu of Ooltewah, Tennessee. I'm sure you might already be planning this, but on Veterans Day, are you going to be doing a podcast focusing on military discounts and benefits at Disney World? Any reviews on tips about Shades of Green, travel to and from there, meal, ticket, and other discounts? My brother is retired military and planning his first trip with his family in April 2015. I know he and so many others would benefit from your wisdom and information.
It's a great idea.
Yeah, Len, have you stayed there? I remember a while ago you had mentioned that you had not stayed at Shades of Green yet.
I haven't, actually. I've got a couple of invites to do it. It just never worked out with my schedule, but soon. Yep.
So Shades of Green is located kind of near the Grand Floridian. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Isn't it essentially across the street from the Wedding Pavilion, more or less?
Pretty much, yeah. And the rooms it's got two sections, an older and a newer. The newer section is like Disney Moderates. The old ones are like Disney Deluxes in terms of square foot size. Yeah. It's relatively basic. I think the on-site dining isn't what it could be. Neither is the transportation. But in terms of the money that you pay for the room you get, it's a fantastic bargain. You're charged based on your pay grade.
Yes.
So your rank. And it could be, you know, as little. And so the lower rank you are, the less you pay. And it could be anywhere from, and I'm making this up, but somewhere around $50, $60 a night to, you know, a couple hundred dollars a night, which is way better than what you're getting for the comparable room at Disney.
Yeah, it's a great. I mean, if you're in the military, it's for active and retired. Yep. So that's pretty useful. I would actually recommend for discounts one of our favorite websites, mousesavers.com. They have a section about the discounts for everything, but also the military discounts. And they've got a couple military salute discounts, which are now through October 3rd, 2015. And they offer like 30% off values, 35% off moderates, and 40% off deluxes. There are, of course, blacked out dates. But a couple of different options for you as well in terms of if you're looking for vacation packages or just tickets. There's some decent offers there for you. Probably some. I would say, Len, probably one of the steepest discounts you can get, really.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Yeah.
And I just want to add, don't forget that there are military discounted rates on cruises every once in a while with Disney Cruise Line as well.
Yep,
really?
Absolutely.
Cruises. That's fantastic.
Let's enlist.
Yeah, Len's going to enlist just for the Next, we have an email from Teresa. I want to see the electrical light parade before it goes into repairs soon, but I don't want to buy the Not-So-Scary Halloween ticket. How can I do that? I understand that they will usher everyone out of the park at 7 o'clock, and we can't stay until 9 o'clock for the parade.
Wow.
Well, I think she's getting confused. So on nights where they have Not-So-Scary, there are no electrical light parades. Mm. There's the Halloween parade, but that's a different story. So if you're talking about seeing the electrical light parade, you just have to go on a night that's not a
party night.
Party night, exactly. Now, if you're talking about seeing the Halloween parade, then you have to go to the party, and you already missed it anyway, unfortunately, because we're past that point. Next, we have an email from Brad from Indiana. Well, I'm admittedly no Johnny, but I don't want to put Grandma in a corner. I'm planning on a multi-generational 8-night trip to Walt Disney World in October 2015. The trip includes my wife, my two sons, ages 3 and 1.5, the time of travel, and my parents. Our initial plans were to split a suite at the Art of Animation and fully submerse our boys in the over-the-top Disney theming with grandparents to boot. A few nights later, while trying to quiet a raging chorus of crying before bed, and I realized the potential trap, yes, it's a trap, I may be walking into regarding sleeping conditions in the suite. So there lays my question. Does the suite provide me ample space and sleeping conditions for 4 adults and 2 children? The assumed plan would be to graciously allow my parents to have the traditional bed and my wife and I split up with the kids using the pull-out couch and Murphy bed. Would a reasonable, well-mannered family be able to survive 8 nights in these conditions? Or do I take the role of Johnny and not put grandma in a corner and get connecting rooms at a value or perhaps splurge for a moderate?
That's an awfully long time.
Okay, yes, eight nights for 4 adults and 2 kids in Art of Animation.
Wow. You're saying no.
Well, so you'd be on one of you'd be in, the adults would be in the pull down bed, which is a full size bed, right?
Murphy bed. Mm-hmm. Yep.
I don't see it.
Like they made it sound like they were going to split, one sleep with one kid, one sleep with the other. I mean, I'm just going to tell you, Grandma and Grandpa are going to be stuck in a bedroom by themselves because they can't come through the room to get to the refrigerator or the microwave or anything like that, or even leave the room because they're going to interfere with the young children sleeping. That's
yeah, I don't see it. I think what would be better would be if you have a couple of options. You could do a family suite and a standard room at All Star Music. You could do a suite and a standard room at Art of Animation. But I think you're looking at 2 rooms there.
You go look at All-Star Vacation Home, which are a sponsor of ours.
An All-Star Vacation Home would be the best because then nobody's got to share a room.
Right. And you could all stay in the same physical house.
Look, I mean, we've all got children.
As long as you're in the same house as the child. You know what I mean? I don't think I could share a room with my parents.
No, it's a long time. I wouldn't want to do that. Yeah, I agree. Cool. All right, let's move on to our next email. And this, but what's the Johnny? I don't put grandma in a corner. Did I miss that reference?
You're killing me. You are killing
it's
me.
It's from.
Yes.
Wow, really? You don't know what it is?
I've never heard this in my life. I've heard put baby in a corner. Huh?
I don't know what it is either. So.
Thank you. Vindication.
Would everybody else hang up?
Len evidently can't take it.
Dirty Dancing?
I thought it was Dirty Dancing. I thought it was still talking about Baby in the Corner, but it's Johnny says it.
Yeah, isn't that Baby in the Corner, though?
Yes.
Yeah, but he's just making reference to Grandma in a corner instead of Baby.
It's a play on words.
Oh, I'm not. All right. Whatever.
Yeah.
Swing on us. It's 0-1.
Next, we have an email from Brian.
Brian.
A question in episode 1403 regarded Florida residency for a college student. The answer is much simpler than having to get a Florida driver's license. The link below is the official requirements. A full-time college student, or for the more subversive types, anyone in America with a pulse and a bank account, should easily be able to meet the requirements, particularly the bullet point regarding mail from a financial institution. Love the show. Keep the good work.
Oh, that's fine. Yeah, we could do that.
There you go.
So all I need is a bank account?
Yeah, there's a.
So everybody now is going to go to Bank of America in Florida and get a bank account, and boom, you're done.
Yeah, we've got one. What am I doing?
PO box? Yeah.
So for Florida resident tickets, you need any of the following: Florida driver's license, Florida state issued ID, Florida based military ID. If you do not have one of the IDs above, then each ticket purchased from an adult must provide one of the following dated within the last 2 months and evidencing a Florida residential address, not a PO box. And they include a monthly mortgage statement, Florida vehicle registration or title, homeowner's insurance policy or bill, automobile insurance policy or bill, utility bill, mail from a financial institution, including checking, savings, or investment account statement, mail from a federal, state, county, city, government agency. So but wouldn't the address still show like Latin Testa, North Carolina?
No, that's why they're saying it has to be to a Florida address from the financial institution.
Yeah, exactly.
To your Florida address.
Got right. it.
Matt
Got
Hotchberg.
But if you have a UPS store box and not a PO box, that's in Florida. Looks like a suite.
Could you send your room to? Could you send your mailed to a hotel room.
And I was about to say, sir, this address appears to be the Polynesian Resort.
Lynn, you would have to stay in the same hotel.
I know, two nights, or I'd have to time it exquisitely well.
I believe you have mail for me.
Insanity, I tell you, it's insanity.
Next, we have an email from Kristen Hammer. Here's my question. Love the show. My extended family travels to the world every other year in the middle of September due to work constraints. My sister is a teacher. We've done Walt Disney World a few times and now have been considering a Disney cruise. Originally, I had ruled it out for our vacation 2015 because my twins will only be 2 weeks shy of their third birthday. At three, they'll be able to do the free kids club activities as opposed to the paid nursery. My problem is there really is nothing new at Disney World since the last time we went in 2013, except for the Mine Train, which my boys will be too short for anyway. And it looks like some stuff will be opening between now and our trip in 2017. So when I look at it that way, we're better off doing the cruise in 2015 and returning to the world in 2017. So that got me wondering, does the cruise line ever make an exception and allow a child who's just a few days away from the three-year-old birthday to participate in the three-year-old kid activities? Some of it is a money concern. A three-year-old kids club is free. And if I put them in there, the nursery, I have to pay hourly. And the fee isn't that bad, but I got two kids. I'm also concerned they won't enjoy the nursery. It's for 6 months to 2 years old, but they'll be practically three. Oh, and not to forget the major selling point of going on Disney World in 2015 instead of a cruise is that my twins will still be under three and free.
Free, yeah.
Yep. Please let me know how big of a concern you think this should be for me. I want to enjoy my vacation too.
You know, on the cruise, I've heard of people within a few days of their birthday. As long as you're not trying to get into it like the 18-year-old stuff, if it's the kids' clubs, they're more flexible. But if you're like 17 years and 50 weeks or 51 weeks, they won't let you into the adult areas until you're actually 18. They're a little bit more lenient with the kids' clubs.
So you think?
Well, and also something else to remember is to go into the kids' club area at 3, you have to be potty trained. So
no, good point.
That's going to have to be a factor in there too.
I'm out.
I'm out. Yeah, exactly. That was funny, Scott.
I just got it. Yeah.
Wow, Matt, come on, get with it. Wait.
Sorry, I'm trying to roll out the emails here.
How do you prove that you're potty trained? How's that proven?
It's.
I think it's a couple of hours. It's proven.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, maybe there's a card or something you have to show.
No.
The smell test. I don't know
about Disney, but on Royal Caribbean, they cannot assist the kids in any way in going to the bathroom. Oh. So. Yeah, it's going to be pretty obvious sooner or later if they're going to make it. I think it's the three strikes and you're out rule.
Really?
Three? That many?
That surprises me.
There'd be like one. Oh, too bad.
Sorry, you have to leave.
There would be a special beeper noise for that parent. Come. Come get them.
Next, we have an email from Aaron from Maple Grove, Minnesota. I'm just writing to second the opinion of a listener who wrote in to regarding Ohana in episode 1400. In early September 2014, my wife and I had dinner at Ohana because we had never been there and wanted to try out despite the construction. Unlike the previous listener's experience with being told the meat would be cooked in skillets, we were not notified that anything might be amiss in Ohana's normal cooking procedures, and we didn't notice anything that they didn't jive with what we had heard to expect. However, I will say, like the listener, we too found the shrimp, pork, and steak to be all be tough and chewy. At the time, we chucked it up to another skewer serving method, figuring the meat would need to be cooked more than would otherwise be ideal in order to ensure food safety while the skewers wander the restaurant with it. Perhaps, though, we also suffered from skillet-cooked meat. Either way, we were somewhat disappointed with the experience given the price. We left wondering if there was a better option to only have the appetizers like wontons, noodles, wings, breads, etc., and the dessert and skip the meat entirely for a lower price. Have you heard of anything like that?
Oh, that'd be fantastic, wouldn't it? You can actually get some of the appetizers at the bar. I don't know if it's cheaper.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, you can get the appetizers at the bar,
At the Tamu Tamu Lounge?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, Ohana's not going to offer you a reduced option. It's all or nothing, baby.
Yeah.
Anul, have you and yours, I don't know if you're privy to any spy reports. Of going to Ohana lately?
Not from anybody I know. Everybody's staying away from it for now.
Yeah, let me ask you this, sir. Reunion is coming up. Do you have any reservations?
I have dos reservations.
Dos, that's it?
Dos.
That's standard for reunion
For reunion for him is every night. So this is a dramatic drop in his attendance. Although, truth be told, in Mike's defense, he doesn't always make all the reservations. He shows up to other reservations.
In this case, I have one and someone else has another. And if someone else comes up with a third or a fourth, I'm in.
So be it. I'm only human.
That's right.
It's a close walk for you this year.
In our case, it's just an elevator ride. So,
next, we have an email from Dimitri in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Hey, neighbor.
I just got back from Disney World and rode the Mine Train for the first time. I enjoyed the ride during the daylight hours. I would call it a solid B-. At night, though, it's an absolute A. I also noticed that even more than Big Thunder Mountain, riders in the front rows of the Mine Train really seem to get the short end of the stick.
Yep.
I didn't notice that. I was wondering what ride you think is more dependent than any other on riding it under the right circumstances.
Oh, man. Big Thunder at night.
Expedition Everest, if you're not in the front.
Yes.
Let's see.
In the rain, too, is pretty cool.
Yeah, in the rain's more fun.
That doesn't sound appealing.
Test track in the rain is pretty
fun. I'm trying to think of whether
I would say
Rock and Roller Coaster is different in the back. I think it is. I'd rather be in the front.
Yeah, the front is way more intense.
Not even going to say it and not go in there.
I was going to say, actually, you know, Tomorrowland Speedway, under the right circumstances.
I know what you're thinking of it. and that was funny.
Anyway, Tomorrowland Speedway, of course, if there's a backup in front of you, it really ruins the ride because then you're just sitting there. You're stuck in traffic, literally.
Yeah. The Tower of Terror, I'd rather be up in the first row than the last row.
Okay, fair enough. Are there any attractions that, like, to like the Big Thunder thing, like if you are in the front, the problem with the front of Big Thunder and I guess also Seven Dwarfs Mine Train is that when you go over these hills, once you go over the hill, the problem is the back of the train is still going over, so it slows everything down. So you can get like literally halfway down a hill and you're going like 2 miles an hour.
You know, Matt, it's called physics.
Nice. All right. Next email is from Ashley Wilson from Eldridge, Iowa. And Ashley writes, this might be more of a question for Annette, but I'll be chaperoning a high school band trip to Disney World in March of 2015. In the past, teachers and chaperones have collected the students' room keys in the morning, so there aren't kids going back to their rooms during the day. We don't want any band babies.
Oh my God.
Good grief.
Wow.
Wow.
Is it possible not to have the kids' room keys linked to their magic bands and instead get a card that we can collect at the beginning of each day? We'll be staying at Caribbean Beach, so we know they'll have magic bands regardless, but can we just have their park admission on them? Thanks for all you do, and we can't wait to see you at Reunion in December, or depending when you read this. Was it Reunion a blast? I can't believe all that cool stuff happened.
Or 9 months from now when it's, hey!
Oh, wow. Wow. I know this is something that I've asked because I do a lot of groups, and the only solution anybody can come up with is to put the tickets on the bands, and when you check in, ask for a room key. That seems to be the only solution. Just don't even have it tied to the band.
Wow.
I thought.
But it makes it hard to get fast passes. So they'd have to set everything up, everything on the band. Then when they get there, ask for a room key.
I thought you could opt out of Magic Bands, or they want to keep Magic Bands. That's the issue.
Well, if you opt out of the Magic Band, then everything goes on to the old Key to the World card.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. So you really want to have them on two separate things. So just like we have an annual pass on a Magic Band, and then, you know, you might have another band as your room key. They can do that. It's not really out there because they think about it. They really don't want to have double. But I get you. I actually asked if there's a way they could shut down their door for certain hours because I travel with teens personally all the time.
Really? And you've asked for that?
I asked and they can't. Well, as soon as we went to the Magic Band, I was like, can you make it so those bands, I mean, you can give them charging privileges. Why can't you tell them they can't go in the room? I'm trying to help out with the Magic Bands. So, well, it's very rare that's going to happen. I mean, you have so many youth groups that go. Most people want the convenience of everything being on the band itself so they can come and go. But, yeah, if the group person can work with the person at front.
Next, we have an email from Chris from Yakima, Washington. So the hating on Animal Kingdom can stop. A new day has dawned. The Dawa Bar now has especially Bloody Marys. The African Bloody Mary is to die for. It's the new e-ticket attraction. No fast pass required.
It's true. Although, I guess drinking them in the morning, there's a beef jerky one.
Ew.
It's apparently the best of them. But
according to Brian McNichols?
Yeah. Yes.
He has no soul, though. That's the thing.
He's an authority. He's been to a lot of bars.
He's a drunk. That's what you're saying.
He's an authority.
Beef jerky?
Beef jerky, yeah.
That should never, ever be in anything.
In a Bloody Mary? I could totally see that. Oh, man, I had I had some Slim Jims yesterday at a party.
Oh!
Len, I thought Slim Jims were relegated to car trips to Disney World.
No, Slim Jims are anytime. Anytime there's a festivity or a holiday, Slim Jims.
Slim Jims. That's like the...
So we're going to have the Slim Jim meet at reunion?
We should. Macho Man.
Don't give him any ideas.
We should totally have a Slim Jim meet. That would be fantastic.
Yeah, I won't be eating one, I can tell you.
Next, we have an email from Nikki Thompson of Fairless Hills, Pennsylvania. I'm sorry to say that you were fed a line of blank by whomever your sources are in Disney. If you go to the Facebook page called Save Off Kilter, you'll find a video of the security guard motioning a cutoff sign across his throat as the power is turned off at the stage and the group is escorted out, the group being off kilter. There are also many fans recounting the same story. They were close to the stage as well during that last show that they performed at. The lines that you are being fed are clearly damage control for a horrible ending to a great act. Disney executives clearly know they have made a mistake but don't want to admit it.
Wow.
I have still not seen this video. I've looked and I've still not seen this video.
It's on a Facebook page called Save Off Kilter. But before you go there, Mike, I need you to choose the last email of the day.
Let's go.
All right. Your options are how to get the room you want, charging for popcorn on Disney Cruise Line, what? Both parties.
Let's go with how do you get the room you want.
Last email of the day is from George from Cleveland, Ohio. What's the most effective yet diplomatic way to get a room that you actually want when checking into a resort at Disney World? We usually play let's make a deal when checking in. We tell the cast member where we'd like to be, and they tell us what's available now and how long it'll be until we can have what we want. Is there a better way to do that?
For a room request, you can always fax it in 5 days in advance.
Yes.
You can add it onto your reservation when you make it as well.
Yes, you should do both, in fact, if you're really adamant.
And I recommend having room numbers, not just room request. I recommend you have room numbers, because just saying you want a pool view room doesn't mean you don't have to stand on your chair to see the pool when you're in it.
Stick your head out the window, and there you go. There's the pool.
All right, cool.
Well, that's going to do it for us today. Don't forget, this episode of WW Today has been sponsored by MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. And when it's time to plan your next trip to Walt Disney World, the good news is MEI and Mouse Travel is here to help you plan that trip, make it a reality, and, of course, help you along every step of the way. Check them out right now at mousefantravel.com. Also, don't forget, you can email us your questions for WDW Today by emailing questions at WDWToday.com. For Len Testa, Mike Scopa, Mike Newell, and the fabulous Annette Owens, I'm Matt Hotchberg. We'll see you on the next show.
Stupid Judy, stupid energy.
This has been a production of Mouse World Radio.